Amen. How many of you have ever had a moment where you just don't understand what's going on? Now, listen, I'm not talking about a senior moment. I'm not talking about that. I had one of those the other day. Y'all, this is the most embarrassing thing. I text somebody. I said, call me as soon as you can. I have a question. They literally called as soon as I hit send. I hit send, pause, phone call. I answer, hey, friend of mine. They're like, hey, how are you? I said, I'm good. Got a quick question. Blank. Literally, less than a minute. And I could not remember. I actually had to say, listen, I got to call you back. I said, I have forgotten the whole reason why I texted you. So I'll call you back. And I did, like 3 minutes later. I was like, okay, I got it. So I'm not talking about the senior moment. I'm talking about the times when you really do need insight in your life so that you can understand what's happening or how to formulate an appropriate response. Well, exactly. It's a trick question, right? Because every one of us have that situation in our lives all the time. Sometimes it's little things that we don't understand. Like sometimes I don't understand. You know what I don't understand? I don't understand why my dog, who is like begging to go outside, I let the dog go outside. They're outside for like 20 minutes. They come back inside. Like my dogs bark at the door. When they're ready to come back in, they bark at the door. I let them in. You know what I don't understand? I don't understand then why 5 minutes later they poop next to the door I just let them in from. I don't get that. I'm like, that makes no sense. But sometimes, like that's a funny one. But sometimes it's a more important issue. Like once a year, I have to go to my financial advisor. And he has to sit down with me and tell me how my retirement plan is doing, right? And it's a requirement. I have to go. And so I'm like, I go. It's like listening to Charlie Brown's teacher. Wah, 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 wah. If you're younger than 30, Google it. You'll know what that means. You just got to Google it because you have no clue who Charlie Brown is or his teacher, which is a sad state of affairs in this country today. But how many of you have ever felt like it's hard to understand this Christian journey we're on? Like, sometimes it's hard to understand what God is saying, what he's doing, or what he wants you to do next. Again, trick question, right? Because that would be every one of us. I say, raise your hand. Every hand in this room goes up. And if they don't go up, don't ever take advice from them. Ever. Ever. Run. Because if they think they know it all, that's a dangerous thing. I don't know about you. This is not even in the know. This is like totally free. But I'm just telling you right now, you ever come across a pastor who has every answer, run like the wind. Leave the church immediately and find somewhere else. Because all of us are supposed to be seeking God. When you have these kinds of struggles, right? Like you're in the midst of God. What? What? You know what that sounds like in your head? It sounds like these kinds of questions. Am I hearing the Lord right? Or was that just me? Was that the Spirit or was that me? Am I making the right decision right now? Or am I supposed to be seeking the Lord more? I was seeking the Lord, but do I need to keep seeking or I don't know. Am I supposed to move forward or do I need to wait more? Yep. Is God closing this door in my life or should I keep trying?
There you go.
I don't know. That's what it sounds like. And many times as Christ followers, we can tend to feel like we're failing at the Christian life because we don't understand everything that God is doing or everything that he's saying or where he wants to lead us, which makes it seem like it's an impossible task to feel connected to God and be on the same path as God, because we can't figure out what we're supposed to do. So I want to tell you this. You are not a failure when you don't understand some of the things that God is doing. You're not a failure when you don't know what to do next. You're not far away from God because you don't have all the answers to everything regarding His will for your life. Amen. The truth is, when you have moments where you don't understand, where you have more questions than answers, you know what you are? You're just a normal, needy Christ follower. No different than Billy Graham, no different than Jack Hayford, no different than T.D. Hall, no different than any Christ follower you know and admire. You're no different. There is not a person in the Bible other than Jesus who walked intimately with God and didn't still have some questions and need more understanding. Moses, you know what? Let me tell you something. Moses didn't understand everything, and he had a lot of questions when he was standing near that burning bush. David was a man after God's own heart, the Bible tells us, but oftentimes, read the Psalms, he had questions about the nearness of God in his life. John the Baptist had some pretty serious questions about Jesus' plan as he sat in a prison waiting for an executioner to come through the door. There was a point in Paul's life where he says, I don't understand why God won't answer this prayer to take away this thorn in the flesh. Listen, here's the wonderful truth that we all need to agree and accept as truth. God knows that we don't understand all of His ways much of the time, and He's okay with it. Isaiah 55, starting in verse number 8, says, "My thoughts," this is God speaking, "are nothing like your thoughts, says the Lord. And my ways are far beyond anything you could imagine." When the Bible says something, you should believe it. "For just as the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways," in other words, what I'm doing, "are higher than your ways. And my thoughts are higher than your thoughts." You were literally never designed by God to understand with 100% certainty everything that He's doing, everything that's happening in the kingdom. That's simply not how you were designed. Instead, let me tell you how you were designed. Proverbs chapter 3, verse number 5. "Trust in the Lord with all of your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all of your ways acknowledge Him, and He," who does it, church? "He will make your path straight." See, God's goal for His children is for us to seek to know His heart so that we can come to believe beyond a shadow of a doubt, first, how profoundly loved by God we are. Then to trust that He is who He says He is, and He will do what He says He will do. And then His goal for us is to choose to depend on Him for everything, all the time. When we finally accept that this is the way we were created, that it is truly the way to follow God, His love, His faith, His sufficiency will continue. What it does is it continues to quiet and refine our souls so that many of these obstacles that currently prevent us from understanding His will, from hearing His voice, from following the prompting of His Holy Spirit, as the Lord begins to quiet your soul and let you be at rest, those things begin to fall away. And then, knowing what to do next, when the obstacles are removed, it actually becomes much, much easier. Of course, we have an enemy who hates all of this love, trust, dependency on God. He doesn't want you to be at rest and peace in your relationship with God, trusting that God, your loving Heavenly Father, is going to reveal himself to you in just the right time, in just the right manner. He doesn't want you believing that you are certainly, because your Father is sovereign and loves you, that you are going to reach your kingdom purpose for your life. He doesn't want you to believe that. So it's at that place of need where you don't understand and you've got to choose, am I going to lean into God or am I going to believe this lying evil spirit? It's at that place right there where the enemy begins to work through a spirit of confusion.
Amen.
There you go.
So I want you to see God's will for your life. So he sets these traps so that he can hold you in a state of doubt and uneasiness because you are in a moment uncertain.
Amen.
And so he wants to hold you right there. See, a spirit of confusion wants you to live in this constant state of worry that you're missing something.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right? That he wants you to believe that you should have done something different. Look back at your life. You see, if you would have done that different, you would have understood God better. Things would have been different. But now look where you're at. You're just where you are, and nothing's going to fix that. That's what he wants you to believe.
Yeah.
You've messed everything up. There's no redemption for you. Oh, the pastor can tell you there is. But the reality is, you know you. And you messed it up. There's no hope for you anymore. You're never going to know God's will for your life. That's the enemy. That's what he... See, if he can get you to buy lies like that, to constantly be in a sense of anxiety that you've missed it, that you're not doing it right, that you should have done something different, that it's just too late anyways and it doesn't matter. If he can keep you right there, his hope is to get you so anxious, so confused, that you will begin to search for answers outside of God's design. Here's some examples of that. Some of these flaming arrows that he shoots in your mind trying to get you to move in that direction, they sound like this. If I don't decide right now, I might miss it. What if I miss it? What if the answer to my question never comes? And then, well, as we get impatient, of course, right? We think, it probably won't come. Well, maybe I'm just supposed to do what I want. Maybe I've messed everything up and God has left me to deal with my own mess. I can't emphasize enough that not understanding everything in this Christian experience, this relational context with God, is normal. It's normal. And we don't want to buy the lies. I know you are like me. You don't want to buy the lies that the enemy is offering. But does that mean then that we just sit down and throw up our hands? Well, I guess I'll just find out in heaven. I don't know. God's purpose is to use our need for answers to cause us to lean into his love, to have faith, and to be completely dependent as we seek to know him and his will for our lives. Proverbs 8, verse 17. I love those who love me. This is a personal, connected relationship. And those who seek me diligently find me. That's a promise. The promise is that as you seek him, you will find him. You might listen, I'm going to go so far off, I may never get back in there. But let me tell you something. Some of you believe you must have an answer. What you need more than an answer is the personal, relational, deep, growing, impactful, connected, loving relationship with Jesus Christ.
That's right.
That's what you need.
That's right.
The answer is only, he can use that answer if he wants to. But what you need more than anything is intimacy with Jesus. That's what you need. Might not find every answer to every question this side of heaven, but you get something. You get something. You get something that mature Christ followers understand by experience is far superior. You get more understanding of his heart. And let me tell you, that's the greatest joy and satisfaction in life you'll ever have, is to gain understanding of the heart of a loving Father towards you. You might be here today thinking, you know, I am feeling confused about some of the things of God, and I do need some understanding in my life, but I'm not really sure what you mean when you say seek God. Pastor, is this one of those moments where you're just going to tell us to read the Bible more or something? Should you go to church more? Read a couple of books? Is that where we're going, right? That's what you're going to... Let me tell you something. Seeking God is all about asking the Holy Spirit to help you establish God's priorities as your priorities.
Amen.
Here, I want to give you four priorities that the Holy Spirit wants to establish in you that'll help you seek God. The first one is this. Prioritize his presence. Prioritize his presence. 1 Chronicles 16, verse 11. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his presence continually. We prioritize his presence simply by inviting him into every area of our lives. You say it can't be that simple. Listen, dear one, you function best in life with this simplistic answer. When you learn to invite God into every thought you have, into every interaction you have with other people, into every place you go, into every activity you engage in, into every time you read the Word, into every conversation, into every movement of your life, the more you begin to invite God into that, the more you are prioritizing his presence.
Amen.
You want to know the heart of God? Be in his presence. Be in his presence. Listen, the enemy, he takes this stuff and makes it harder than it has to be. The enemy wants you to search for understanding by, okay, well, they're Christ followers. I can't do anything about that. They seem to be pretty dedicated to this whole church thing. So I can't do much about that. So the enemy wants you to try to search for understanding, then by creating these strict procedures that you must follow daily and then prioritizing the procedures ultimately over the relational connection with the Father.
There you go.
Now, listen, I'm not saying that every relational or every system that we have created as Christ followers is bad. I'm not saying that. But the enemy's goal is to try to get you to fall back into this checkbox mentality instead of being led by the Spirit. See, this is the problem, because it can start so well. Man, I need to read my Bible every day. And even the Spirit prompting you to do that, I'm going to read my Bible every day. But then it becomes monotonous, because we forget the reason we're in the Word every day, which is to know the heart of the Father. We forget that this is something that God wants to speak to us through. And so we begin to be a people who are like, well, I got to read 6 chapters today.
Yep, yep.
And if I don't read 6 chapters today, then I really did fail. And then God wants me to do this well. And I got to do this better. And by the time it's all done, you're a frenzied mess. He wants us in this checkbox mentality. But we're created to be led by the Spirit to engage the Word. We're created by God to through the Spirit engage in conversation with him. to worship from a heart that is in love with Jesus. That's how we're created to live. Again, not every system is bad. I'm not saying that, but a system that moves you where you can just be mind-numbingly droning through reading something as wonderful as God's word. If that's your system, it's wrong. It's wrong. Better get off of that. Some of you are getting a little touchy. I can see it from up here. So like, here's the next one. Seeking God requires us to prioritize wisdom. If any of you lacks wisdom, the Bible says in James chapter 1, verse 5, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given to him. Only God gives the wisdom that answers our questions and meets our needs so that we can build a solid foundation for life. This is why you really must prioritize the Word of God. You really must. Every day, going to the Word, not because you have to. Now listen, I know when the Spirit prompts, you got to make a choice. You do. It's naive to stand up here and tell you you don't. Every day, you must make a choice to follow the prompting of the Holy Spirit. Some of you do it out of guilt. I want to encourage you to let that go and look at it instead as an opportunity. The Lord is calling to me to show me more of His love for me. I want to choose by saying yes. And the time you say yes is not necessarily in the moment. I decide my yeses beforehand. Got to prioritize the Word of God. So many Christ followers simply don't get the wisdom they need because they don't prioritize the Word. Yeah. Yeah. A spirit of confusion wants us to respond to our need for understanding by following instead our desires, our emotions, our past experiences towards what seems right based upon what we've seen in the world around us. Listen, so many people, frighteningly, so many people without even like thinking of God first. I mean, it's just their natural bend. They gain their wisdom based off of sitcoms and reels.
Yeah.
I'm like, none of that's even real.
Yeah.
I guess a reel is real, but it's a reel, but it's not real. But I can't tell you, I find myself doing the same thing. I'm like, oh, that's smart. Why not do it that way? Now, don't even ask the Lord if that's the answer to the question or not. It's so simple. Do you see how simple that is to go right to fleshly thinking? This is why you must be in the Word, so that the Spirit of God gets more and more of your mind. More and more. This is, I'm going to pass over some things that need to be said. This is why it's important to saturate yourself in the Word. Think of God first, always first. Every conversation you're going to have with somebody, think of God first. Everything that you, every little thought that goes through your head, add God into the mix. God, what do you think about that? I just said something. I'm not even sure if it's true. What do you think about it?
Amen.
See, God, the enemy wants us to follow our own desires. Just, go live off of emotion. What about your past experiences? You know, what does Oprah say? Hey, that's the enemy. But God wants to give us wisdom by leading us by His Spirit into His Word. And then what happens, see, God's not opposed to your desire, your emotion, or your past experience. He's not. All things together for good for those who love God and called according to His purpose. Your desires are not bad necessarily. Your emotion not bad necessarily. And your past experience not bad. But if you don't surrender first to the wisdom of God through His Word, and then let God use all of those desires, emotions, and the past experiences in your life, if He uses them, He will give you confirmation in His Word that will that will show you, man, this desire I have is right.
Amen.
This is good. Yeah. I can trust that this is a desire from God. Why? Because everything was filtered through His Word and His Spirit first.
Amen.
Here's the next one. Seeking God requires us to prioritize waiting. And all the church groaned. Lamentations 3:25. The Lord is good to those who wait for Him, to the soul who seeks Him. Listen, waiting for the Lord is hard on all of us. Every one of us. Now, the enemy knows that. So when you're frustrated by a lack of understanding, what does the enemy do? He offers you quick solutions to solve your problem. Right? You're not getting along with your spouse? Does it seem like trusting God, seeking God for your relationship with your spouse is taking too long? The enemy says, well, then you know what? I mean, okay, you're going to wait for God to fix this mess, but you know what you need to do? Just disconnect emotionally from your spouse to protect yourself. And then, you know, then you can just wait for the Lord, I guess. That's the enemy.
Yes, it is.
Not getting what you want from church? Well, don't trust the Lord. Don't pray for your leaders. Don't offer to help solve some problems. Just go find a different church. Sick of waiting for Tony to paint the walls? Just go to a different church. I never liked that ugly yellow color. Tony doesn't either. But we're waiting on the Lord. And I don't really get a choice there. Got to wait for the Lord. Worried about your finances? Oh, well, the enemy says don't wait on the Lord to supply all of your need. Just go get another credit card. Go manipulate every conversation you have with other people to the point where it gets to where you're like, well, I'm just in so need and I'm praying for the Lord to do this. And then, but I really need this kind of money. And if it doesn't come, then I'm just, and then you manipulate every situation you're in until you try to get what you want. That's how the enemy works. Let me tell you something, dear ones, waiting for God is good for us. You know why? Because it drains the Christ follower of self.
Amen.
And it yields the heart to the leadership and lordship of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
Here's something that most pastors don't want to tell you, but I'm going to tell you. God is in the business of taking you to the end of yourself.
Amen.
He is. Some of you will enjoy your life a whole lot more if you'll stop fighting the death of yourself. And start allowing God to have His way. He's trying to make you more in His image so that you can have the satisfying life He promised, so that your kingdom purpose can be fulfilled. And you're trying to hold on to self. Lay down on that cross and let Him kill that off. See, when we wait on God, His heart is to first and foremost create relational intimacy, to build our faith that He is who He says He is and He does what He says He will do, and to create in us such dependency on His sufficiency that we never doubt again that it is God who watches over us, who protects us, who provides for us, and who walks us through our life. Do you realize how unstoppable you are when you get to the place where you know you are loved, that God is faithful and He is completely sufficient? You're unstoppable in the kingdom. Why is the kingdom of God not advancing at the rate which I believe it was supposed to advance? Because His people no longer know of His love through His word. They no longer have a faith that He is who He says He is. He does what He says He's going to do. And they have lost any semblance of believing that God is sufficient 100% of the time.
Amen.
We've all forgotten it. On the stage as well. We've got to let God change the way that we think. He won't let you slip. He won't let you become overwhelmed by the situation to the point that he says, stop. He won't. You know, I'm overwhelmed. That's because you're not leaning into the Lord.
Amen.
It's hard, no doubt. Go read Paul.
Yeah.
Anything Paul said about his journey. But like I read to you last week, what did he say? But I have learned.
Yeah.
You know what? I've learned to stop relying on myself and rely only on God. Whatever happens, he's in charge. See, it really is true that God always comes through at just the right time.
Amen.
Always. So finally, if you want to seek God, if you're like, I need to know how to do that, you've got to prioritize righteousness. Prioritize righteousness. Matthew 6:33. Don't let it pass because it's sticking on your refrigerator. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness.
Yeah.
And all these things will be added to you.
Amen.
See, God has a righteous standard that he calls us to live by. And Jesus was really right when he said that all of the law and all of the prophets are fulfilled in loving God and loving others. Righteousness lives by that standard. If it doesn't love God or love others, it doesn't do it. We need to understand that we are going to always, on this journey, be required to make righteous choices. We're always going to be required. Now listen, I'm not talking about the mistakes you make, okay? I get it. All of us mess up. You should have heard what came out of my mouth when the dog pooped on the floor. That's not pretty. That's not righteous. You don't want to hear that from the stage. It is awful. But those are the things we turn and we go, God, from an abundance of the mouth, the heart speaks. I need you to minister to me right there. Something's wrong.
Yeah.
I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about getting to the place where you go, I choose your way. Even when I don't like it, I choose your way. See, when the enemy sees that you are in need of answers, he often will offer you this different option that appears to be an acceptable option for the problem that you have. Right? You look at something, you're like, well, that would solve the problem. The catch is, you have to compromise on living by the righteous standard that God has called us to in order to get it done. You've got to choose self over others. You've got to choose some kind of manipulation in order to make it happen. You've got to convince someone of something they didn't want to do in order to get what you want. To solve your problem. And see, the more we make these concessions with righteousness and the lack thereof, the more we do that. Here's what happens, dear one. I promise you, this is what's happening in a spiritual realm you cannot see. I promise you, this is what happens. Every time you keep negotiating with righteousness, the door to your heart opens wider and wider for the enemy to continue to influence you in ways you were not designed to be influenced. It happens so many times. How do you think you get people in church who, you know, they've loved Jesus, they're all in, they're like, yes, and then years go by, and all of a sudden something totally crazy happens, and you're like, I never saw that coming. You know why it came? Because of one degree of unrighteousness left unrepented that led to another degree of righteousness left unrepented that left to another degree of righteousness, unrighteousness left unrepented. That's what happens. And it opens the door wider and wider. And all of a sudden, you're somewhere you never thought you'd be. Because we make unrighteous choices, prioritizing our choices based upon how we feel, what we think we need, and whatever we think will solve the problem the quickest. And God says, choose righteousness first, all the time. None of us are perfect, dear ones. The goal is not perfection. The goal is surrender.
Yes. Amen.
A submitted heart. One that's so soft that when I don't choose righteousness, the Spirit of God wells up in me so fast and convicts me of sin. And what? What does the Bible say? He doesn't just convict of sin. Some of you stop there. He leads into righteousness, right? So we want to keep a heart so soft that God can do anything he wants. And when we mess it up and when we choose flesh instead of spirit, God goes, let me show you. And you go, oh, that's bad, Lord. I'm sorry. Lead me in righteousness, Lord. Lead me in righteousness. Listen, prioritizing God is how you seek God. Seeking God pleases God. Seeking God builds your faith. Seeking God teaches you to live with the Holy Spirit as your source. This, dear ones, is how the Christ followers you admire deal with the questions of, am I hearing the Lord right now or is it just me? They trust that God is faithful and that he will answer that question. He will make his way clear because he is God and I am not. And he knows that I have a hard time understanding. He is perfectly capable of answering that question. Did I make the right decision? Did I seek the Lord enough? When that question pops up in your mind, the people you admire who understand how to prioritize and seek God, you know what? When that question pops up in their mind, and it does, there's a tremendous peace that comes knowing that regardless of what I have done or said or chosen, because my heart is surrendered, because I prioritize God in every way, he's going to turn it. He's going to move it to good. Even if I make a mistake, he will correct me. I can't tell you, and time doesn't allow me to tell you how many times I've prayed and prayed, and I've gotten to the place where I'm like, Lord, a decision has to be made. I'm following your peace right now. I believe that this is the direction I have. I believe that from the reading of your word, this is the right thing for me. And I start to move towards it. And I cannot tell you how many times in walking towards it, I'm like, I think I'm doing right. And then yank, it's moved out of my way. And it's not even an option anymore. You know what I take that to be? I take that to be God going, I appreciate your heart. I appreciate you seeking me. I appreciate the fact that you walked this road with me all the way through. This is not my best for you. Yank, and he removes it out of my life. Can't tell you how many times that's happened. Christ followers who are like, do I need to wait more or do I need to move? The ones you admire have learned that the peace of God will lead. That a heart surrendered can trust the desire in it. That his word will speak to you in just the right time. So you don't need to worry about if you should or you shouldn't move. God will show you. And guess what? Sometimes you need to not move. Sometimes you need to let the opportunity pass. I've told you before, I'll tell you again, in this church, we have elders. The elder body makes the decisions. If somebody comes to me as a pastor and says, there's this amazing opportunity right now, but you've got to choose right now, then my answer is, then that opportunity is not for me. And it's not for this church. Because if you want it now and I can't go to the elders and talk about it and pray through it and have time to understand it, then I don't care if you're trying to hand me $1 million. Take your money and go. Because we trust the Lord and we trust the structures he's put in place in this church to make sure that there is righteousness, godliness, and a smooth running direction.
Amen.
We don't just move because there's an anxiousness in us. No. If anything else, I pump the brakes when that happens.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
Like if you're like, well, you better do this or else. That's a wrong way to approach me, number one. Don't ever approach me that way. You will lose every time. Yeah. Even if I'm wrong, you'll lose. Yeah. Because I can't stand the line in the sand. I'm like, oh, well, I'll just step over it then. What's going to happen now? Really? Do it. Do it. That's my, I mean, I just don't, we should never do that, but. I'm like, sometimes you just got to let this stuff go. Let it go. But it's such a great opportunity. If it's a great opportunity and you're going to miss it, I promise you the Lord will intervene. Because he's good. Because he loves you. And if it was his blessing on your life, he's not going to let it pass. These Christ followers you admire, that's how they deal with these questions. They seek God. They live by faith. They believe that Philippians 1:6 is true, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Christ Jesus. From now till the time you're staring at the Lord's face, between now and then, God's going to do everything he planned on doing in your life. Just keep choosing him. Keep prioritizing him. Keep following him, just keep walking with him. And I promise you, God will do everything that he's set forth to do. Now, what do you say? Well, I haven't been doing that. I haven't been doing that, Pastor. You just said God would if we were willing to choose him, surrender ourselves to him, and allow him to do this. I haven't been doing that. Am I doomed? Am I doomed? No, man. That's the great thing about grace. Everybody gets the mulligan. Right? That's a golf term. Google it. Everybody gets grace. Somehow in God's economy, he's already accounted for everything you've thought, said, and done. And if you will repent and turn, he'll take it and turn it for good. In his economy, that works. Remember, you're not a failure because you don't understand everything God's doing. It's perfectly okay to be needy towards God, towards his wisdom. It's perfectly normal that you need him to clarify things. As we seek him, I promise you, when you prioritize him, you will find him, and he will begin to reveal answers to you because he loves you.